And we are live on Facebook on Augusta Free Press. I am Chris Graham, joined by Crystal Graham, and we're going to talk about the latest news in Virginia. We just watched and covered Governor Ralph Northam's Tuesday press conference talking about, specifically today, Virginia public schools and youth sports. And so, Crystal, we have a lot to kind of digest today for our viewers out there.
We do. I mean, the big news that came out of the news conference is that all public and private schools will open next year. And I know that there had been some fears, you know, just from me talking with parents about what the school year might look like and what kind of restrictions they would be. You know, I think most of it seems pretty common sense based on where we are right now with COVID-19. I will say that they laid out two different plans. They laid out a plan for phase two and a plan for phase three. I think primarily the reason the phase two plan was discussed is because in some cases instruction is needed in the summer. And we may, you know, as Governor Northam said during the news conference, we went to phase two, I guess, or phase two, yes, on June 5th. And it is at least 2 weeks, he said, before we'll move on to phase three. So that puts us through at least June 19th. So anyway, if you'd like, Chris, I can break that down. I know that, you know, as you said, he also discussed youth sports, which I think was kind of a surprise that he added that one on in the end. And there's some good news there for parents as well.
Yeah, go ahead and give the details, Crystal, on where we are in phase two. And of course, as for those out there who may be confused, because this is, there's so many, you know, phases and different things you can do. There's no different phasing for schools as there is for everything else. So we are all, Northern Virginia and Richmond will be joining the rest of the state in phase two on Friday. And then we'll all be in phase two for at least a few days, theoretically next week, as early as next week for the rest of the state can go to phase three. But yeah, the phases go together. So we're all in phase two now, or we will all be soon in phase two. And so there's not like there's all these different phases out there. Where are we right now, and what can be done in schools, school divisions across the Commonwealth right now in phase two?
I think the main thing, Chris, and this is just kind of overriding before that, is just that basically the governor is saying we're not going to do a bunch of mandates. Basically, we're going to leave this kind of up to the localities to make their own decisions. There are going to be options offered. And then your plan has to be submitted to the Virginia Department of Health and or the Department of Education, depending on if you're public, private, there's some other factors. But essentially, they'll be reviewing your plans and approving them essentially before you move forward. So in some cases, for people who want summer programming, that will happen quickly. So the main thing is that for phase two, which again is at least through, I guess, next Friday, you know, the governor hasn't made any final decisions on that yet. But while we're in the Forward Virginia phase two, the governor is still encouraging most instruction to be virtual, but he's making some exceptions there. And it's come at the request of talking with people in the education system. Apparently, there's a major demand for scheduling related to people with disabilities or English as a second language students. Being out of routine for them can be very challenging. So the governor has gone ahead and authorized in-person instruction for those populations, as well as preschool through third grade in-person instruction is allowed. And there are going to be some restrictions on that, you know, kind of the same restrictions that you would expect. The 10 person maximum, generally speaking, he did say groups of no more than 50 people. So it's possible that you could have more than that. He also said school-based summer camps can operate. So they are asking for common sense guidelines is mostly what they said in this case. They would like to have students spaced out 6 feet apart. For anyone who's been operating childcare, I think that's kind of already been the norm this summer. But you know, teachers should keep about a 6 foot distance from students when possible. And when not possible, teachers should wear masks. And there's some things there that they didn't go over so much in phase two, primarily because I think it's addressed in phase three. And obviously, if it's phase three, you would look at it in phase two as well. But things like that, you know, there may be temperature checks or health screenings, that kind of thing in place as well. And then Chris, the, and I know you were working on some other things when this news conference was going on, but the way that phase three really is different is just that obviously it's going to allow for in-person instruction for all. So schools should be able to go back in the fall as planned. Localities again will be able to make a lot of those decisions. But there is going to be strict physical distancing required, and that's the 6 feet between desks. So as Governor Northam said, you may have to be very creative with how you use your school. In order to get those 6 feet in between desks. And of course, it's whenever possible and to the greatest extent possible. One of the questions brought up by a reporter after the news conference was over was related to buses. And Governor Northam said, of course, that 6 feet distancing also applies to buses. That's guidance from the Virginia Department of Health. But again, every school kind of has to submit a plan. So I think that as long as you're using, to the best of your ability, limiting to that 6 feet, those are going to be things that are looked at on an individual basis per school system. One of the things they said is that you may have to stagger the use of cafeterias, or even suggested that maybe students would eat in classrooms. And the idea behind that is not bringing together a bunch of groups that aren't normally together. Because normally, I don't know about you when you were in school, Chris, but there might be two or three cafeteria settings. So you go from a classroom of 20 or 30, to hundreds of people in the cafeteria. So that was another thing they discussed. They said, school systems may have to think through unique and staggered schedules for classrooms. Blended learning options would be okay. They want school systems to come up with a plan for remote learning for students who may be at a higher risk. And so they didn't actually define what that would be, but of course they want you to have remote possibilities available for that. And as I said at the very beginning, Chris, some parents that I talked to were very fearful that students would have to wear masks. And there's been a lot, there's a lot of different, discussion about what age is appropriate for kids to be wearing masks. Some people say anyone over 2, some people say 10 and under should not wear masks. So there's a little bit of discussion related to that. But basically what they've said is they're not going to require students to wear masks. Some older students, they may recommend, the school systems could certainly recommend that older students wear masks, but they would not be required. That's from the governor, that they would not be required. So, and then just that staff would have to wear masks when those physical distancing requirements could not be met. They did say also that, some of this is a little bit vague, and so they did say that they would be putting a PowerPoint and additional information on the governor's website today to kind of break it down further, what it means in phase two and what it means in phase three. They have a plan for phase one, too, but unless there's another COVID outbreak, I don't imagine that we would go back to phase one at this point.
Yeah, and that's, I saw a comment on our Facebook page right before we came on that talked about how vague this is. It's vague for a reason. I have to look at my watch. It's June 9th today. School years will start. Summer school can start now, obviously, with phase two, with the governor's plan there. But, fall instruction, I know in our area, Waynesboro, Stanton, Augusta, is like the first or second week of August when the school year starts now, which is just ridiculous, but it is what it is. And then for a lot of localities, later August, early September. And so, that's a lot of time. I mean, even that early date, we're 2 months out from roughly 2 months out from that early date for those earliest school systems starting. Mm-hmm. And so vague because those school systems have a lot of freedom, a lot of flexibility to develop plans. Who knows where the public health situation will be? I think I say this a lot, so it bears repeating. Every hour of every day, we learn new things that, make us feel a little better about where things are. I know that those who consume only mass news, let's call it that. I mean, your mainstream newspapers and TV networks may still be under the impression that the world's coming to an end anytime soon. The public health numbers indicate that things are definitely improving in a great degree. And so, I think vagueness is probably a good thing because I don't think you want to lock yourself down rigidly into anything. And then, things can certainly open up in the next couple of months. And plus, now, you know, you talk about, you know, all the plans will have to be done at local levels. There's 134 local school, there should be 134 local school divisions. I think there's 99 counties and 35 cities in Virginia. And I have to make sure that's accurate. It's a number I'm pulling from my head. But that's a lot of administrators who are going to be earning their keep here the next few weeks as they come up with plans for how to deal with not only, you know, their unique situations, but even from school to school can be unique in terms of, I know in our rural areas that we live in, I mean, in Augusta County, for example, I don't consider us really rural. I know people in Northern Virginia might consider us rural, but, you know, there are schools around the two cities, Stanton and Waynesboro, that are in Augusta County that feel very urban. And then you have some schools outlying in more remote parts of our county that probably are very rural. So even within school divisions, there can be definitely differences there. And plus then the differences between elementary and middle and high school. So yeah, there's going to be some administrators making their, be earning their money here the next few weeks as they come up with these plans.
The other thing, Chris, is that school systems may go back sooner than most students are used to. I know we were planning some vacation time with some friends and they have children and they said, you know, they've kind of got to wait to find out what the situation is going to be. We've had a couple of readers weigh in on that. I've had one reader who weighed in and said Waynesboro and Stanton are looking at August 4th as a start date, and someone who said Augusta County is looking at August 5th as a start date. If those dates are accurate, then definitely you'd be looking for school systems to start a lot sooner than, you know, people are accustomed to. Roderick Mullins, one of our columnists, also says he's in Dickinson County. And he said, you know, they've had no COVID-19 cases so far in their area. They're looking at August 3rd. So it looks like early August for most school systems getting started. So I know a lot of parents and a lot of teachers are going to be glad to at least have some formal information from the governor's office so that they can all start to plan. And I know for a lot of the teachers who I am friends with on Facebook, I'm sure that they are very relieved that it will be in person versus virtual, because while COVID was such an unknown and you had to shift gears very quickly, in that case, in my mind, the teachers were very sad not to be able to see their students, you know, to have to all of a sudden come up with this virtual programming. I think it varied widely as to whether students were actually able to complete classwork, you know, at home.
That's what I was going to say. I don't have Virginia specific numbers for this, but I saw a report that somewhere around 10% of students in the United States and in the EU, European countries, had not even logged on to their online learning. Right. And there's a great fear that those students could be lost. If, you know, that was a fear before, you know, that was maybe 2 weeks ago when we still weren't sure what the fall could look like here in North America, certainly. And so if the school year had started with more virtual learning, and uncertainty would be there as far as virtual versus physical learning, that there was a concern that those students might be lost forever. And we're not talking about even just older high school students. We're talking about students all the way down to the to the primary level, the elementary level. So, this is the best possible news from a standpoint of continuing education. And I was going to say about the school year starting now, maybe in Dickinson, I'm not sure what Dickinson's schedule normally is. The last couple of years here in Augusta, Stanton, and Waynesboro, our local area, those dates, if those are accurate, August 4th, August 5th, those would only be about a week ahead of where we had been. I mean, we've been starting ridiculously early the last few years anyway, for what we consider early. Back when we were in school, Crystal, back in the old days, Labor Day or around Labor Day, maybe a week before or the week of Labor Day, or, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before Labor Day, you would see a school year start. And that seemed early because there were some years we started after Labor Day back in those days. Augusta, Stanton, and Waynesboro have adopted a model of going sometime around August 10th or so. So a little earlier start, but given what has happened, you know, given that the school year effectively ended around March 12th, I think it was 12th or 13th, even with distance learning being in place, it's not the same. And so, school divisions seem to be chomping at the bit to be able to get the kids back in and let's get them back on track from an education standpoint.
And my guess is there's been some guidance from the governor's office, from the Virginia Department of Health, and from the Department of Education, that this was really no surprise to school systems, the information that came out. This is more for the more general public to get a grasp of how things are going to look. My guess is that school systems have already been planning for what, you know, what they expect is going to happen. And here's the thing too, while the governor says, you know, they've given us instructions for phase two and phase three, we may be out of this Forward Virginia plan by the time school rolls back in. You can't say for sure that that's going to be the case. But it may be that things get back to normal at some point. But in the meantime, the school systems are going to be challenged with, and I'm sure that they've already been working on plans for, how do we make classroom sizes smaller? How do we put this space in between that they're talking about? How do we deal with cafeterias? Or how do we deal with, you know, kids having lunch? These are all things that they've probably been thinking about for several months, you know, while schools have been out of session, knowing that there would be restrictions put in place. So I'm sure, you know, there are ways to accommodate and to think through those things. So it'll be interesting to see how the individual school systems each look at this and what kind of plans they propose. And of course, we'll be glad to share those going forward as we get that information from school systems, so that parents are in the know, so to speak. So I think most teachers are going to be going back, you know, late July, that kind of thing, to get their classrooms ready and things of that nature as well. Chris, was there anything else you wanted to add about that? Because at the end of the news conference, they also talked about youth sports. And I know that's something that a lot of people who are tuned in also are probably interested in.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, because we're in phase two, and they didn't really give any, at least in the press conference. I expect later today we'll learn more about what future phases will look like from a sports standpoint. But we're in phase two now, so we know in phase two now that youth sports can ramp back up with restrictions, obviously, in place. The restrictions include, for example, in baseball, no sharing of equipment, no wearing of helmets, you know, from player to player, no use of bats from player to player. But as was pointed out, I think the guy's name is Clark Mercer, the governor's chief of staff, who himself, he says he's a youth sports parent. I mean, you know, a lot of folks who are watching right now. Back when we played sports, back in the Stone Ages, we would share. I mean, there might be two or three baseball bats per team, and you'd share a helmet. You know, there'd be one medium, one small, one large, and you know, you'd share helmets. That's not the case now. I mean, what we're used to and what kids do now is very different. So from a baseball standpoint, you know, that's one. Football, you know, I think it was Mercer again who said this. We no announcements yet about the fall season for high school sports, which of course in the fall it's the big sport is football. No indication of that yet. Again, I think that's a good thing. We don't want to lock ourselves into anything in terms of what, in a very evolving situation. But it's right now in the summertime, and we're not even in the summer technically yet. We're still about a week and a half out of actual summer. But right now where we would be from a youth sports standpoint, as far as football is concerned, would just be in voluntary workout phase.
Yeah, so, I think that's what he said. You know, weightlifting is okay. Drills are okay.
And I brought up in the piece that we wrote on the website, 7-on-7 drills. I mean, basically, there's no contact, and that's across the board. No, what was it called?
No intentional contact.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So right now, there'd be no intentional contact in football anyway. We're not in contact drill phase of football. That wouldn't start until later in the summer, you know, late July, early August, because the season starts in late August, early September for teams. Would start if we start on one time. And so right now it would just be passing drills in quarter. And in this day and age, again, for those of us who you know, played 30 years ago, you know, you didn't wear gloves. You didn't need gloves, but receivers and quarterbacks wear gloves. And so the idea that they're throwing the ball to each other, catching them all, you know, everybody's out there wearing gloves. That's right now where we are phase wise. That's fine. You know, other sports. I mean, you know, I know we talked last week with the new sports director at the Waynesboro YMCA. Soccer is an easy sport to space out. Basically, spacing is important. Crystal, you had the details in terms of indoor and outdoor capacities, up to 50 participants.
Well, it's basically 50 people is what they said. So they said there are some sports complexes that have multiple fields on them. You know, they might have a soccer field and they might have a baseball field, but it's basically 50 people per field. But there is one exception, and that's related to youth sports. So if we're dealing with a youth sport, what they're saying is, Obviously, parents have to drive their kids, you know, to practices and to games and to things of that nature. So obviously they can't limit the parents being there. So they're basically saying there's no limits for spectators in youth sports, you know, so you're still supposed to, you know, be on, you know, on your sideline and then kids in their individual dugouts and that kind of thing in baseball, but just to, you know, they're not going to restrict, you know, only one parent or anything like that. There's going to be no limits for spectators of youth sports. So these are all good news because there was already talk about some of these things starting to ramp back up. But basically the governor knows that, you know, this is a big part of the summer, you know, and so they're making these restrictions. One thing I thought that they might have gotten a little more pressure on that they might have addressed that they did not was pools. You know, still at this point in phase two, they're still limited to lap swimming, three people per lane, exercising, diving, and swim instruction. And also theaters, you know, there's been some talk among theater owners and performing arts centers, things of that nature, about how churches can go back now at 50% indoor capacity. Many have chosen not to, but there are some that are open, and that theaters don't have that same ability. So I know that there have been calls to the governor's office, but that was not, neither of those two things were addressed in today's news conference. Now the next news conference is scheduled for Thursday again at 2 p.m. And so it is possible that the governor would make some announcements about moving into phase three and what that may look like. The governor has not put his plan online so that we could kind of see what phase three might look like, so that people like theater owners, restaurants, that kind of things can really plan ahead. So we'll kind of have to wait and see when that comes out, what we're looking at there. Initially, when the governor announced this whole Forward Virginia plan, it seemed like phase three was, okay, everything's wide open. But I'm not sure that's going to be the case just based on the fact that phase two was a little more restrictive than I think a lot of people had thought it might be.
Well, you know, yeah, the restaurants are now open. Crystal, you and I went to a restaurant on Friday, on June 5th, first day we could. And the spacing, you know, honestly, it didn't feel that different to me. They seated you different. You know, there were less tables in the restaurant we went to than you would normally see. They seated you in booths, you know, one booth in between, even though, you know, people could sit right behind you, you wouldn't know it in a booth situation. On Saturday, we went to an outdoor dining establishment at Bold Rock over in Nelson County. I'll mention the name just because, wow, they had done a great job in terms of using their whole property and spacing folks out. You know, it was really well done. The way you entered was really well done. I thought very orderly process in that sense. You know, I'll give credit to the places we've visited so far, in terms of, they've spent the time the last few weeks preparing to be able to do the best they can business wise, to be able to make money and keep people safe. And so, you know, yeah, the phase three is going to open things up a little bit more. And I'll tell you this, Crystal, I mean, I listened to the press conference. And others out there who are joining us right now live, I know some were watching that. I sensed something out of the governor today that I had not sensed in a while. I think that, you know, he talked about this at one point. Of course, today's focus was schools. It felt like to me, I mean, he said, yeah, we all want to get out of this and get back on with our lives. You know, there for a while, he seemed pretty enthusiastic about keeping the wraps on people. I felt different today. I felt like he wants to see us move back to normalcy. And, you know, I'm sensing this from other states too. Crystal, you mentioned theaters. In California, Gavin Newsom, the governor there, has opened up theaters. I think it's on Monday next week. Folks can go back to movie theaters with restrictions, but with, you know, some sensible restrictions. The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, had basically, I mean, New Jersey before today, you know, compared to where Virginia is, they were in phase zero, and he ended the stay-at-home order. And so, I mean, they moved along. They've moved past us now. So,
yeah. And in Tennessee, pools are open. So things are definitely shifting in that direction. And I, like you, Chris, did kind of feel that the governor is on board with moving to phase three relatively quickly. I don't know if he'll go the 3 weeks like he did, you know, with phase one, or if he'll go ahead and move us more quickly. I think part of that is the fact that the numbers are looking so good in Virginia. In the last 8 weeks, the numbers have really drastically gone down. Now, they did say there would be a jump in the numbers due to Central Virginia, one testing location apparently had not entered their data into the electronic system, so they were manually being entered. And so it's going to look like perhaps that there's a jump, but that's artificial. So what they're saying is basically that everything looks good. Hospitals aren't overrun. There's plenty of PPE. You know, the governor used to start almost every news conference with, you know, stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. You know, he would say that multiple times. You know, he did recently ask everyone to start wearing masks, which was something that he had requested before, but now saying that if you're going to be in a public place, that you should be wearing a mask. I think that what may end up happening, Chris, is we may shift into this phase three a little bit sooner. I think there's some indications from some people that we know in the community that have been communicating with the governor's office that that just might happen, but that there's still going to be things like the recommended physical distancing that they're recommending in schools, some of the mask requirements, you know, things of that nature. Again, I don't think it's necessarily going to be that they say forever that if you're in a public place, you have to be wearing a mask, but I think it's going to be recommended more than being required. But I think those are some things that you'll see in place. The governor said several times in the news conference today that he felt like Virginians were doing their part to help move things along. And so, you know, I hate to say I'm confident, but I feel like he will definitely address the next phase in his Thursday news conference, and then we'll go from there. But obviously, you know, businesses want as much notice as possible. But on the other hand, they've been making plans for months now. So most of them seem ready to go when the governor makes the announcement that things will open up, you know, more broadly.
You know, I'll say this too. I know, Crystal, when we discussed this privately amongst just ourselves, you know, we have our questions about the facial covering policy. You know, you know me though. I one of the weird things that I do, I'm a big pro wrestling fan. I guess we've worked in that industry. One of my favorite brands of wrestling is a company from Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling. I've watched that company for years. I noticed this years ago that folks who attend the matches in the various cities in Japan, Tokyo, Nagasaki, other places in Japan, during certain times of year, half the crowd or more is wearing facial coverings. And so At first I didn't understand. Then one day I'm like, why are these people wearing face coverings? So I looked it up, and it's just a custom in Asian countries. That during seasons of like the flu season, you know, cold season, that people there just wear facial coverings. And so one thing we can note is that the Asian countries have generally done better than we have with maintaining, you know, some sense of normalcy during this COVID outbreak. I don't know that here in America that you're going to not see maybe during the next flu season, you know, in future flu seasons, that people say, you know what? Maybe we should wear facial coverings during flu season so that it can be something that we don't transmit the flu quite as much. I mean, the vaccine is what it is. Even with a flu vaccine, we still have, according to CDC, 60 million cases a year in America. That's one out of every five, roughly, people in America still get the seasonal flu, and that's with a vaccine. So, you know, another way to maybe fight that better would be, you know, just some common sense physical distancing, some common sense, perhaps those who are more prone to, you know, maybe some complications from a flu outbreak, maybe they need to be more cognizant, and maybe facial covering should be something that they consider using. So I don't know that that's not going to be something we don't see become more standard during viral outbreaks in the future. And I'm looking at flu seasons and cold seasons and that kind of thing. People who are more vulnerable, maybe you should just be more careful.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, and if temperature checks and things of that nature don't become more of a normal thing. You know, it used to be that, you know, if your kid was sick, you sometimes just send them to school anyway. But I think that there's going to be a lot more restrictions on that kind of thing as well, as far as, you know, if you're sick, you stay home, and that applies to, you know, workplaces as well as, you know, schools and gyms and things of that nature. We're just going to have to use a lot more common sense going forward.
Americans, we love to have this ethic. Like, and I remember one of my, Scott German, who's a contributor to AFP, he talked about, he was talking proudly a few months ago before any of this popped up, about his father and how his father never missed a day of work. He went to work sick as a dog if he had to, but he went to work every day. And that's great. You know, you want to say we're tough, but that's how stuff gets, you know, that's how diseases, that's how viruses get thrown about. And so, yeah, we just, you know, it's great. We want to be tough, but let's be smart. And of course, part of that's going to be policy changes at the state and federal level to mandate it so that every person, not just the lucky few, but every person has the ability to have home paid sick leave, you know, and that's going to be important. And also, obviously, too, I mean, you know, we still have 30 million people who don't have access to health insurance, even with Obamacare. We still have 30 million, that's one out of every 11 of us. That's 9% of us that don't have health insurance. And so we're going to need to figure out some way to get more people covered so that they can, you know, not only, you know, have paid sick leave, but then also have the ability to go to the doctor and get those things dealt with. So there's a lot that we need to do. We know what we need to do. We just got to start doing it.
All right, Chris, so the governor has made his decision about going back to school in the fall. I know it's good news for a lot of teachers and, you know, and a lot of parents, too, who are kind of wondering what next year was going to look like. You know, at least they have some answers now regarding that. And I'm sure that school systems will be putting out a lot more additional information in coming weeks as well. So I will just say that we'll look forward to the news update on Thursday from the governor's office to see if there's any additional information about these phases that we're going through and what might be happening with businesses in phase three. Again, that the earliest that the governor has said that he will kind of lift those restrictions would be June 19th. But keep in mind, like Chris said, that, you know, New Jersey kind of lifted everything today, and that was kind of a surprise. The governor's original, if you recall, that emergency order that the governor put forth was a, but then he put back, you know, back, I guess, in March, you know, was a 90-day notice that was supposed to expire on June 10th, which is tomorrow. So in essence, if this is going to be extended further or something like that, you might see that he has to extend that executive order.
Well, no, actually, technically, he already extended it. He mentioned that, and I'm trying to remember the circular reasoning that was given for that, but there was something involving federal reimbursements or something like that. But effectively, I mean, yeah, when you see New Jersey, I was trying to make an analogy to this. New Jersey, I mean, the situation there, because of the counties ringing New York City, you know, in northern New Jersey, I mean, New Jersey was an epicenter of this COVID outbreak as far as the United States goes. They've had it much, much worse, you know, and of course, that fortunately, they've passed that stage. But for them to go from where they were and have been to lifting the order completely, very surprisingly today, the governor there, Phil Murphy, that's a signal of something as far as that goes. And we got to keep watching the numbers. Now, here at AFP, we do watch the numbers, and we're not going to scare you. We're not going to, you know, unnecessarily alarm you and sensationalize things. In fact, we try to, you know, be very data driven with our reporting. I'll tell you that I've looked at the numbers from our recent high, and I call it a high, was actually a pretty good number too, even on May 31st, but we're down about 30% in terms of hospitalizations from COVID. We're still at about 7% of all hospital beds in Virginia being used for COVID patients, which is part of the whole shutdown was to keep the hospitals from being flooded with COVID patients. We're at 7% of our hospital beds. That's a very, very manageable number, to say the least. You know, the number of cases going down both in Northern Virginia and statewide, that's an important distinction to make. The focus the last, I'd say 4 to 6 weeks, has been on what we need to do to improve the situation in nursing homes. That's where close to 60% of the deaths in Virginia from COVID have been in nursing homes. And it seems like a lot of effort has been put there. That's very good. Those numbers are starting to get in line. Unfortunately, you can't take back what happened the first few weeks and the lack of attention put there, but it's been improving there. As a result, things are improving statewide. And so today's news, Crystal, I mean, as we start summing things up here, the fact that we're looking to have in classroom instruction in early August in public schools across the Commonwealth has got to be a great sign for not just kids, their parents, teachers, but really for everybody, because it's another step in the direction of normalcy that we've all desperately been wanting the last few months.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And so, you know, we've posted a couple of stories to Augusta Free Press. As we said, the governor's office should have additional documentation available later today, sometimes even in the evening hours before that gets posted to their website, but it should be posted there later today. Just additional breakdowns as to phase two, phase three. They said there'll be a PowerPoint up there as well. So there'll be some additional information. We'll try to post a link to that once it's available. And in the meantime, stay tuned. I mean, it sounds like the school systems, for the most part, have their marching orders, so to speak, for the fall. And so, or for the late summer, I guess, with everybody going back in August now. You know, they have their marching orders. People can start making plans. Families really know when their vacations can start and end now, you know, based on those instruction dates. And, you know, so schools have got a plan now. So now it's just the rest of the state and when we'll be opening up. And I'm sure that the governor will have more information very soon on that.
And we will share it. The governor's office, we normally get those releases out, and when we'll write stories based on that, we'll share that information with you when we get it. And also for our international and national level viewers and readers, for our purely local readers, we are the Augusta Free Press. And so for our Augusta County, Stanton, Waynesboro, Charlottesville, Albemarle, Harrisburg, Rockingham readers, you know, as we get specifics about local schools, we will share those details with you as well.
All right. Sounds great. Well, for Augusta Free Press, I'm Crystal Graham. Joined by AFP editor Chris Graham. Go to AugustaFreePress.com for more information throughout the week. And if it warrants it, we'll come back with another news update on Thursday just to kind of break down the information for you as well. Thanks for tuning in today.